you know, when we're looking statistically, 27% of working moms have access to paid leave right now, only 27%. So you think about that, and only 90% have access to FMLA, which is unpaid leave. So I think that's something that we can constantly work on.
Our sponsor for this episode is South Park Interiors. If you have any need for an interior design firm on your next student housing development or rehab project, I can't recommend them enough. I've personally worked with them on several projects from coast to coast, and they got it right every single time. But that's not the only reason I recommend SBI. The principals of South Park Interiors have been student housing developers themselves. They not only understand the end consumer, your student residents, but they understand your needs as a developer and an operator. More importantly, SBI acts as a partner to their clients. Once you work with them, you'll understand why their clients use them over and over again. South Park Interiors is a female-owned business, and that's why they wanted to sponsor this specific episode. They don't only care about delivering a great service to their student housing clients, but they want to support the initiatives and the needs of the people working in this industry. Regardless if you have an immediate need for an interior designer or not, reach out to SBI and schedule a conversation. They will also be exhibiting at the Interface Student Housing Conference this April, so if you're attending, make sure you stop by their booth. You can find out more about SBI at their website, southparkinteriors.com. We'll also provide a link in the show notes. Hello and welcome to the Student Housing Insight Podcast, where we are putting you in touch with the people who bring student housing to life. I'm your host, Wesley Deese. I'm also the CEO and founder of Student Housing Insight. Student Housing Insight is not just a podcast, but we are also a platform for student housing professionals to network and share ideas and data. If you want more information, go to studenthousinginsight.com. And joining me today is a special guest co-host, Whitney Kidd. How are you doing?
I'm good, Wes. How are you?
Well, other than this, I was out sick last week and I'm feeling fantastic, but the voice just has not come back yet. So I don't know if this is, maybe everybody enjoys this, like, you know, deep, raspy voice, but it's a little tough for me, honestly.
It's your new radio voice. I like it.
Well, we'll see. This may be the lowest listened to episode we've had for a while. Well, hey, I wanted to invite you on today because there's a lot that's been going on in your life. First of all, let's talk about congratulations. You just welcomed your second child into the world and returning to work after being on maternity leave. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about that because you made a post on LinkedIn shortly before coming back. And it was something that really kind of stirred up some emotions in me because it reminded me of, and I've got four kids, so it's happened several times, but it really took me back to that, you know, to that first child of ours and when I was really going through some, you know, emotions as a first time dad. And anyway, we'll jump into that, but you're also just such an important voice for women in our industry. You're one of the founders for W Collective. And actually, before we even go, you know, much further than that, I think I won't, if you could just give the audience a little bit of an update of who you're with now, because you made a recent change within the past year that maybe those that are familiar with you and our audience, maybe they don't realize that you've made a career move somewhat recently. So why don't you catch everybody up to date on what you're doing these days?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, thanks for having me on. I'm really excited to talk about the return from maternity leave and just a few updates on me personally. So I am with the Price Company, serving as Senior Vice President of Innovation and Technology. So I'm really focused around revenue generating technologies for our portfolio, but also we have spun up a really interesting consulting firm on the technology side called Iris Technologies. So I'm helping lead the charge there with several other wonderful people that initiated at the Price Company. And that has just been a really terrific journey. I'm very grateful for that team because about midway through of us spinning up this consulting firm, I went out on maternity leave. So I think it's a true testament to you can do several things, right? And timing is never going to be ideal. So I'm elated to be back. I came back the first week of January, and it's really wonderful to be with people that inspire me on the daily, especially from a professional standpoint.
Now, where does the word Iris come from? Does that stand for something, or?
That's a great question. So I always say, and you know, I've been in a few startup ventures, naming what you're doing is typically the hardest thing.
Right.
Right. Up and running is totally feasible, but naming it, that's a whole nother challenge. So we went through, I would say, probably 10 to 15 names. And anyone who knows Kirk Price will really enjoy this story. So Kirk comes in and, you know, he has great ideas and a lot of passion and vision. And he said, what about Iris?
Chief Fun Officer.
That's right. Chief Fun Officer.
And Chief Fun Officer.
And he says, what about Iris? And we all look at each other. And it was the first time that we all agreed, right? Me, Adam Byerly, the rest of the Iris team, we all said, that's it, right? And it's, he got it from Greek mythology. It's the messenger god. So we're bringing the message of innovation to the student housing space.
Okay. Well, very cool. Now, what all are you guys involved with from does it include internet distribution? Because obviously I know you're very involved with that at Rover Score. Mm-hmm. Is it also the types of email programs and property management systems people are using? How in depth on the technology side does that go?
Sure. We have a variety of talents where we can go pretty much anywhere tech will take us. But our specialty right now and what we've really gotten some enjoyment out of over the past year is specifically prop tech, right? So we focus on how to deploy smart home technology, manage Wi-Fi effectively, package lockers, self-guided touring, anything you can think of that has a hardware component behind it. We're helping not only the Price portfolio, but also external customers really understand who the best providers are out there. They change what feels like daily sometimes.
Yeah.
And then what's the best technology? Because that absolutely is changing daily. So we're helping people make the best decisions for their particular assets on what to deploy, how to deploy it. That's anything from ground up development to working with existing assets as well, which has been really rewarding.
Gotcha. So if anyone is listening and they want to reach out to you guys, I'm assuming that this Price Company isn't just hugging you guys for their own clients. I'm assuming you guys are able to work outside of that client list as well.
Yes. Yeah, we are. So if you want to check us out, it's irisinnovates.com. That's got a little bit about what we're doing. And you can see some of the team that's involved with Iris. But I'd be happy to help anybody. Of course, Price is our number one, always will be. But we've been really thrilled to work with some external customers over the past year and help them fulfill their technology mission.
Gotcha. So let's talk a little bit about W Collective, if you got time to catch us up on that. I think the last time that we talked, it's probably with you and Erica at the same time. And, the website was just rolling out and a couple other things. How's that going?
It's been wonderful, right? As anything, it takes a tremendous amount of effort and work. And so I'm very proud of Erica and the others that kept it going while I was out. Spilling the beans here a little bit, but we are going to be launching another scholarship for Interface this year. So we're going to fill you in on that, Wes, all the details, but really looking for emerging leaders in our industry that would like to attend the conference. We'll have another panel at Interface this year. It's investment focused, which I'm really excited for. It's a fresh face panel. So you're going to get all new leaders that are coming in to speak, all from the investment side of our industry. So really a new perspective to take a look at. So it's been wonderful. We're really excited about that the scholarship and offering the chance for another young woman to be able to come and experience what it's like at Interface Conference.
And you'll have to remind me, I'm drawing a blank, but the recipient last year, I know we had her own kind of the podcast after, like she helped me co-host it. Mm-hmm. I mean, man, what a delight. And having somebody that, I want to say she was like close to 3,000 beds.
Yes.
In Los Angeles, I think. I mean, it was a huge property. Huge properties. So it's great getting her feedback on things. Well, hey, to get into the reason that I wanted to bring you on board as co-host and talk a little bit about what you've gone through here recently in the past, 6 months or so. I speak to a lot of appearance within our industry. And that's typically just because I'm, you know, vocal about being a parent myself. When you've got four and they're the age that they are, you can't help but talk about them because so much of your life is invested into things that they're doing. But I want to go back and let's read this LinkedIn post. I want to talk about this post. And I think this was right at the first of the year. To my beloved family, as I set out on my first work trip away from all of you in 5 months, my heart is flooded with the joyous memories we've shared, from the tiring nights as we've navigated being a family of four to the innate desire to cherish every moment. I'm acutely aware that this chapter of uninterrupted time together as a young family is drawing to a close. You go on to thank your husband and provide some personal notes to him and each of your kids, which I'm not going to go into because I will start crying for sure. And then you also spotlight the support that you've received from the Price Company and your colleagues at work. And then you go on to say, lastly, to all the remarkable working mothers out there, it's all right to feel torn apart between different responsibilities. It's okay to experience moments of sadness. Returning from maternity leave often entails grappling with the challenge of leaving your child for the first time, frustrations with physical changes, and the effort of transitioning your mind back to work. Remember, you're not alone in these emotions. Like I mentioned earlier, when I read that for the first time, Whitney, it immediately brought back these emotions of after our first child, Peyton, who's now 18. I'll never forget that. And you know, then especially for paternity leave, we got like a week and that was saved up PTO. That wasn't even, you know, that wasn't even something that was just given. I worked for a great company. That was just the way it was back then. But, you know, I'd spent that week at home and my mother-in-law was involved, you know, kind of during that time. And then my mother was coming in to help out. And it was some kind of combination of having my mother arrive there, me getting, you know, ready to go back to work and travel outside of the home office was probably going to happen within another 2 to 3 weeks. And kind of seeing my daughter's face and realizing, you know, I've literally spent like every waking hour with her over the past, you know, week, 10 days, whatever it was. And that for the first time, you know, this next day was coming and there was going to be, you know, 8 to 10 hours. I wasn't going to see her. Yeah. Of course, we were going to be calling each other and sending pictures back and forth and that kind of thing. But it was one of those things where it really just hit me like, oh God, I've brought this person into the world and now I'm not going to be there for every single need that they've got.
Right.
That happened again, you know, with the second and third and the fourth to an extent, but nowhere like it was with that first. I know it's okay to feel that way, but it's one of those things where how much do we need to be thinking about that again in that first person kind of thing when it's your child? Is there a way to prepare yourself for that? Because I don't think anybody could have told me anything that would have prepared me for that emotion.
I couldn't agree more, right? I mean, I think that you can speak with people time and time again, and they'll tell you what it's going to be like, and they'll tell you what it feels like, but yeah, you're spot on, right? Until you've experienced it, it's not something that you can easily explain, I think, right? It's a very instinctual feeling that you have when you're going back to work and you're having to choose work over being with your child every day, right? And that's challenging. Yeah. It makes me emotional, right? And that's why I wrote that letter. It's definitely something that all parents feel, right? And most definitely mothers, right? But fathers too, right? We all feel that strain of not being with your child every day. It is challenging.
So this was number two for you.
Was
it any easier for you on this one than it was for number one?
That's a good question. So before I go down that path, I want to speak a little bit about, you know, all the gratitude that I have for this leave, because it was very much different than my last leave. And the last leave that I had with my daughter, my first child, it was in the middle of COVID, right? So that was, you know, it was a positive and a negative. It was a lot of feelings there. But here's the good part of when I had her is I was home, right? I was not right back on the road. We were locked down for a year, right? We were not traveling. And so I had some more time with her, even though I was back to work, it was virtual.
Oh, that's, yeah.
You know, yeah. So it was a completely different experience and also my first, but I'll say, you know, with this leave, it was completely different. One, because the Price company offers paid leave, right? So mothers get 12 weeks of paid leave on top of any PTO that you've collected. And that was completely different than my first experience, right? Being able to be financially secure when you're at home with your child, that feeling, I'll be eternally grateful for, right? I've told Adam that, I've told Donna that. It's something that you really can't replace, right? When you're home and you're worried about, you know, how are we going to pay the bills next month because you're not having an income come through, that's a completely different feeling and a completely different level of stress. So I'm very grateful for the leave that I had this time. It was very different. It was longer. It was paid, which was really terrific. And I had a tremendous amount of support. So for that, I'm so grateful. But, you know, I will say that this one was much more challenging coming back. And I'll talk about why, right? So, you know, you said you had it with all four of your kids, and I'll be interested to hear your perspective. But when you look back, Wes, I'll just ask you this question. When is the last time in your life that you've had more than 2 weeks with your kids uninterrupted, without work, without anything, just with
your kids? Oh, God.
Right?
Yeah, that's... And, you know, it's, I think we get a little lost these days because so many of us are, you know, working from home. Mm-hmm. You know, I work from home, own my own business and still have an office because it's, you know, we're not sending kids off to school every day. We homeschool. So for me to be at home while they're at home is just, that's not going to work
right
for them or for me. And so, but I've designed my life specifically with that, you know, as far as owning my own business and everything else, just because, you know, I knew that these were the only times that I've got with them where I can influence and impact what they're doing. And I did not want to be that parent that the only 2 weeks they really remember are the 2 weeks that you purposely took off, you know, on a vacation, but, you know, half the time you were into your phone or whatever, right? You know, because of that, there's been very few times where we've unplugged everything and said, okay, we're going for 2 weeks, just because we've kind of designed a life where it all kind of revolves around the same things. And we may get week-long vacations. We may get, like, you know, maybe 10 days max, but just in the Dees household, taking 2 weeks off just doesn't happen.
That's right. So, yeah. I don't
know that answers your question.
It does. I mean, I think that's most everybody, right? I don't know many people. I haven't taken a 2 week vacation, I don't think ever in my career, right? Maybe I'll do a week here, a week there, but cohesively, never together. And so this one was very challenging for me because this is likely our last child. You know, I tell everybody I'm done. So this was it for me.
Yeah.
And so you really have to think about, this is the last time, this is the last occasion that you're going to have uninterrupted time with your family until, you know, you retire, right? And then they're grown. So that for me, you know, emotionally, I'm not a very emotional person, but this really brings it out. It was a real challenge, right? To think about the last moment that you're going to have with your family without work hanging over your head or all these different components. Like you said, even if I go on vacation, I'm typically checking my work email. I'm very guilty of that, right?
Yeah.
But maternity leave, I'm very dedicated of really just spending that time with my kids, with my family. And so coming back this time was much harder. It really was.
I could definitely, especially, and I didn't even think about, you know, with your first being born right there when everybody was on lockdown and everything. Yeah, this is probably way much more to handle than that. And there's probably a lot of folks that are in your same shoes where just because that's how things were, you know, kind of teeing up, you know, at that point in time in their life, that also happened to be the same time that they were, you know, starting their family. And for some, that may have been the reason they started their family was because, hey, we've got some actual time to focus on this. That's very interesting. Well, you know, what do you want to tell prospective parents, you know, who maybe they're home right now on maternity leave, or maybe they're kind of in a similar situation where they could have come back in 2021, 2022. Maybe they just have never really kind of dealt with those emotions. Is there anything you want to tell those folks?
Sure. You know, I think that the example that we set for our children, especially in a professional career, is really vital to their success long term, right? So they're looking to us constantly and in different capacities, right? My husband stays home full time. My daughter, my son look to him differently than me. So I think that if you are in a professional career and you're thinking about children, I always say, and you know, my family's always told me this, there's no right time, right? So as much
no, as never.
Can, you know, you want to try to say, oh, next year's better. Next year's never better, right? So if you want to have kids, if that's something that is of interest to you and something that you're going to pursue, I would tell you that any time is the right time, right? Because you're never going to find the perfect time. There just simply is not one, right? That's just the reality. And for those that, you know, have either are on leave right now or coming back from leave, or, you know, maybe still grappling with the balance of work and parenthood, a couple years later, I would say find a support system. I think that's really important. I have several mentors that I work with, but I also have several people that are just great friends in the industry that I can reach out to and speak. And I think that's important, right? And not only within your organization. I think it's important to kind of step outside of your organization at times and have a variety of people that you can lean on, whether that be family, whether that be other professionals in our industry or friends. I think it's very important to speak to people, especially those first few months when you're coming back, right? There's just an influx of emotion. It was funny, actually. I reached out to several colleagues that have either been on leave many years ago, recently went on leave within the Price company. I was just asking them, right? I asked them, how was your experience? And so some of them had great leave like I did. Some of them didn't have leave at all when they were with Price before we had implemented it. And it was really funny. They all had a similar response to the first question. And I asked, you know, what were the emotions when you came back? Pretty much every single person said, whether they had leave or didn't, it was terrible, right? I cried the whole time, right? I had all these emotions. I feel like I couldn't do anything right. It was the balance of, am I doing good at work or am I doing good at home? And so that seemed to be cohesive, which I found pretty interesting, right? It didn't matter if you had a great leave or not. Those emotions are very real and they're real for everyone. So I say, you know, talk to people if you can, and also try to find some balance, right? And I've learned this from this experience coming back to leave. When I come back to things, I come back a million miles a minute. Right? I'm ready to jump back in.
Yeah.
And I love what I do. And I'm so passionate about it. And you feel like you've been out for such a great amount of time that you need to catch up, right? You have this feeling that you need to catch up. And so I would encourage people, your first 30 to 60 days, I would take anything that you have planned and cut it in half, which I did not do whatsoever. I have been on the road constantly. And there's been some impacts of that, right? You know, emotionally and just trying to figure out that balance. So I would say really try to pace back into work, which I did not do so well, but kind of those do as I say, not as I do moments that I've learned.
That's fantastic. As far as the suggestion of, if you can think about it in advance, you know, trying to think of who those people are that you can lean on, not only from a standpoint of, hey, I've got to have somebody just take the child for, you know, a couple hours so I can go to the grocery store or whatever, but to actually have that support group that can sit there and talk about just all of the, what's the right word? I don't want to say headache, but there's just going to be a lot of headache with returning from anything, being out for some type of surgery or something else. But, you know, there's always kind of that headache of coming back in and picking everything up and seeing what everybody else screwed up while you're gone or or just didn't, you know, pay attention to while you're gone, or even things that, you know, that they found that you weren't paying attention to before you left, which, you know, it happens to the best of us. And I think just being able to have somebody that, you know, has gone through that, having someone that's kind of a mentor that could talk about those things is huge. I think that's great. Let's talk a little bit about, for those in the audience who are colleagues of someone who is currently on maternity leave or just returning, or, you know, maybe this is something that's going to be happening later in the year and they kind of want to know, well, how's the best way for them to support their colleagues that are returning. I think from two different angles. One, I think there's more of a corporate, hey, this is what we should be doing for our employees who are going through this. But then also just that colleague that you've got that you're good friends with, that you want to be there for them. What are some suggestions you would have on both of those accounts?
Sure. I think this is one of the most vital pieces, right, for parents as a whole, and definitely for mothers. And first, before I get into suggestions, I want to give a shout out to a company that we had on one of the W Collective calls. It's called Parentally. And so if you are an organization trying to find best practices and support for parents, you know, returning from leave, they do a really amazing job at giving you some guidelines and frameworks before leave, after leave, and then following up, right? Which I think is so vital. A lot of times before you go out, you're having to recreate the wheel, right? Of here's our checklist when I'm gone, here are all the actions that we need to monitor. But what Parentally does is they're able to build that in so people aren't having to just recreate the wheel every single time they go on leave. Right? They can establish something from a corporate perspective, and then also make sure that they have a support group. So that's one thing I really enjoyed about meeting Allison, the CEO. They bring people together from different organizations that are coming back from leave, and you get to speak to them and see how they're handling some of those challenges, right? You know, what are you doing for daycare? What are you doing to really balance out the stress of working and being a parent? And so I think they've got a lot of great things. I don't think that's the, you know, always a sure shot answer. Not every organization can have a company work with them like that. But I wanted to give them a shout out because I think what they're doing in the space, and it's not multifamily, right? They work with Salesforce and a lot of these large organizations, is really something they should be proud of and something that everybody should take a look at, right? If you don't use them specifically, look at the structure of what they're doing. It's very powerful. And what they're seeing in regards to retention after people are returning from leave is pretty extraordinary. So got to give them a little bit of a shout out because we found them through the W Collective. And I just think that it was a really amazing company and mission that they have and that they're trying to help with holistically across the country. So I think that's a great way to look at it if you don't know where to start, right? Parentally is great. But I'll speak to my experience. And then also, again, I asked several women within my organization, you know, what were the things that you needed? And I think from a manager perspective, I have three main things that you should always do 100% of the time. I don't care if you have 5,000 employees or if you have 2 employees. If someone's going out on leave, I think the first one is to touch base with them while they're on leave, right? So I got a lot of feedback of, hey, I went on leave and I felt like everybody just forgot about me, right? It was, you know, I was kind of gone. So I think that's super important. Make sure you're touching base with them, even if it's a few times during their leave, just to see how they're doing, check in on the baby, whatever that may look like. I think that's really valuable as a manager and something that everyone should look at. The second item after following up while they're gone is making sure you're scheduling some really firm items when they come back, right? So their first day, try to take them out to lunch, right? Have a meeting with them to fill them in on everything that's happened while they've been on leave, right? Try to get them caught up so they feel more comfortable when they're coming back into the position. And again, I think even just taking that step to take them out to lunch or take them out to dinner, which probably won't be that likely because they're going to want to get home to their baby, is something that is going to go a long way. It can feel very lonely when you're coming back because you feel like nobody kind of understands what you're going through. And so just somebody taking those small initiatives, such as taking you out for lunch or scheduling a meeting for your first day back to get you caught up and excited about what's ahead, is really going to make all the difference. And then the final step is follow up. Set a time as a manager, whether that's 2 weeks or a month after they have come back from leave, and continue those check-ins, right? I think that's important. Not just check-ins on work, right? But check-ins on how are you doing? How can we assist you? How's it going? I think that's super important to, if you can at least get those three in, which I think are super simple to do, right? Even if you're managing an extremely large team, you're going to make a large impact on that person returning from leave. And again, mitigate some of those feelings of loneliness or, you know, just stress as you're coming back into the workplace, trying to catch up after being out for, you know, 3 to 4 months.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on it today? You know, you're in a corporate position, and with all of my children, you know, I was in a corporate position, and I try to go back and think, how would we have handled that if I was working on site at the time?
Sure.
Have you ever think about that?
I do a lot. And, you know, we hear it, especially since we've implemented our leave policy at Price, right? There's a lot of questions that come up, right? Who's going to take over while the manager or APM is out on leave, or whoever it is, leasing manager, maintenance, whatever that might look like. And how do you implement that? And so I think it starts with who is the direct report, right? That's who I see is responsible. So if it's a property manager that has gone out on leave and they're returning, I see it personally as a regional manager's responsibility or even above that, right? I mean, you know, Adam reaching out as our COO, that's probably going to mean a tremendous amount to them too. Not that that may be scalable for someone at the C-level to do, but it's something that we can think about. But at a minimum, whoever that direct report is, whether it's a regional or if your APM goes out and you're the property manager, I think that's their duty as the manager to make sure that that entry back into the workplace is comfortable. It doesn't always have to be someone that's sitting at the CEO, the COO, but you have someone that's very close to you that can help navigate that really challenging time. So that's the way I view it. I think a lot of companies do it in a multitude of ways, but to be able to scale it as you grow as an organization, I think it's always going to be the duty of that direct report to really make sure that that entry back to the workplace is comfortable.
And I can't stress enough, remember the controllables and the uncontrollables? During our third child, we had a big portfolio that we were, chasing down and we were going to be closing. And it was actually, everything was actually kind of setting up that it was all going to happen on the same week. And then she came 2 weeks early. So from one standpoint, it was one of those things where I was able to get back in enough time to, once we welcomed on the properties, we were kind of not back into a routine, but I was at least to a point where, there wasn't a lot of anxiety going on and everybody was healthy, which does a lot for your mental capabilities during those times. But it was one of those things where I had someone that was on the team that was part of the executive group, young guy. I wouldn't call him a direct report, but I would definitely say that I reported to him. And I could say this now because there's years that have passed, right? Like, I'm sure you've probably experienced some things like this, but that you're fresh in it. And I wouldn't expect you to call anything out. And if this person was here, just because now he's had several kids himself and, we've continued to keep up with each other. And I'm not saying anything that I haven't already said in front of his face, but I will never forget two days after Parker was born. It was actually my first trip going back home to try to get a little bit of shut eye. He had left me a message and there was no message of, hey, hope everything's okay. I think there was a little bit of hey, heard Parker came early. That's great. Whatever. It was immediately into things that were needed for this, for this upcoming acquisition. I just remember basically hanging up the phone, went home, got a shower, and then I called the CEO and basically was like, so this happened, and that's not the culture that I've certainly been trying to breed at this company, nor is it the culture that I feel like all of us have tried to breed, but just basically said, I will not be returning that phone call.
Yeah.
And I will talk to you guys in 5 days. Mm-hmm. And just had to draw a line because this thing was going to close with or without me.
That's right.
And there was nothing I was going to be able to do. This was all about making it easier on everybody else. Mm-hmm. And this was a point in time where I was like, we've known about this for going on close to 9 months. Mm-hmm. If you can't figure out a way to find this, then you're just going to have to answer for it on your own. I can't stress enough to those that are, in some type of position where you've got someone that's maybe not a direct report, but they're part of the team and there's going to be something that you're going to have to rely on them for. You need to be thinking about this in advance. What's going to happen if if something happens 2 weeks, a month, 2 months, 3 months in advance. And I had thought about all those things and had set things in place for people to reference, and they just didn't pay any attention when I provided that to them. So just the other part of that is don't be afraid to put that line in the sand and just say, this is it. Like, I've got to have my space. And if a company can't appreciate that, it might not be the company you should be at anyway.
That's so great. No, I think that's a fascinating story, Wes. And I think what's important is that you're able to talk about it now, you know, for parents to realize that no return from leave or even while you're on leave is going to be perfect, right? There's no perfect boss. There's no perfect company. But what I do think is that we can learn from all of those experiences, right? So if you have had an experience that's not stellar, I think that you should find the bravery to talk about it, right? Like you did in that situation.
Yeah.
You called the CEO. This is not our culture, right? This is not what we are instilling within our organization. And there are always going to be outliers, right? In every company, of people that may not align with the culture or align with the mission. And so I think it's important that you told them about that, right? So that they could learn and that other parents could do the same. And even for managers and executives, right? Maybe ask some of your people, if they went on leave 2 years ago, ask them how their experience was. Ask them how you could have been better, right? How could you have helped them more, right? What was that process like? Because we're always going to get better, right? What we did 10 years ago is not what we're going to do in the next 10 years. So I think that's the most crucial piece of just learning how to help one another, which takes time, it takes patience, and takes honesty, which is what you provided here today with that story.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the last thing I wanted to hit on is we're talking about maternity and parental leave. Mm-hmm. I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, adoption and even miscarriage as well. I feel like there's a support component that a lot of companies may not be thinking about from that standpoint as well. I mean, you've done a lot of research on this. You've done a lot of advocating for this. What's some of your things that, if you've got every CEO in the company or in the industry right now listening to this, what are some things that you want to make sure that they're thinking about when it comes to, you know, when it comes to that, not specifically in a situation where it's the traditional route?
Right. I'll go back to the W Collective and what we have already accomplished within the private sector and student housing, and something that we're so extremely proud of, right? When we talk about family leave, is 10 of the top 25 providers in our space changed and enhanced their maternity and family leave policies following the formation of the W Collective. And I think that's really important, right? That was that first step. You know, when we're looking statistically, 27% of working moms have access to paid leave right now. Only 27%. So you think about that, and only 90% have access to FMLA, which is unpaid leave. So I think that's something that we can constantly work on, right? I mean, it's just, we saw such a movement in our industry. It was the proudest I've ever been to be a part of student housing when we all made those big leaps and bounds to really help mothers and parents and adoptive parents as well. You know, when I speak personally, I think that when we talk about adoption, I feel it's the exact same thing. It is the exact same thing, right? I don't think it should be treated differently. At The Price Company, we still have a little bit of work to do there. We have paid leave for adoptive families, but it is not equal to those that are birthing children right now. So it's something that I'd like to work on with our executive team, and I'd like our industry to work on. I think Cardinal Group is a very great example for all of us and what they're doing in the leave realm. They treat everything equally. It's parental leave. It's 12 weeks paid, whether that's adoptive, whether you're having a birth of a child or fostering a child, etc. So I think they've really set a strong, you know, presence for us as an industry of what can be done, especially since they're, you know, so largely third party, right? That's a very challenging thing to get accomplished. And they did that years ago. That's my personal viewpoint. I know that a lot of organizations are going to struggle with any form of paid leave. It's not an easy thing to get through and to explain to some of the people you're working with, especially when you're in the third party environment. You know, something I've been very fascinated in lately is our birth replacement rate. If we have owners that are telling us, I don't want to pay for someone to go on leave for 12 weeks to either adopt a child or have a child, and we'll talk about miscarriage in a moment, I would really, you know, encourage everyone to look at it from a business perspective, right? If you don't look at it from just the sheer viewpoint of people should have paid leave when they have children, right? Which I think is just a basic human right. Think about it from a business perspective. So in the US, our replacement rate, so just to replace our current population, is 2.12 births per woman. Right now, we're sitting at 1.67. So if we look at the next two generations, if nothing changes, right, if our birth rate stays the same as it is right now, we are going to have a 20 to 40% decline the next two generations just within the US alone. It's worse in other countries.
Yeah.
So we're in real estate. Real estate's very important to us, right? We need people to put heads on beds, and we need people to move into our really nice assets that we have. So if we're thinking from a business perspective, We need to make it easier for people to become parents if that's the route that they choose, right? If you want to be able to fill heads on beds every year, if you want to be able to employ people at your communities, we need to make sure that people can have babies, right? So statistically, that's something to look at, right? And I know everybody views this differently, but I think if we're looking from a business standpoint, it's something we need to keep our eye on, right? Elon Musk talks about it quite a bit because he's concerned about where we're headed, right?
Yeah.
If we don't have enough people, there's going to be a large challenge for all of us, right? The economy as a whole. So I think that's something to look at. When we talk about miscarriage, I have seen all too often in my entire career, women go through that very, very intense, terrible process, right? Which I would wish upon no one. And I have seen many times them come back to work the next day or within 2 days. And I think that's unacceptable. No matter where they are in their pregnancy or whatever the situation is, that is a loss, right? That is a significant loss that people go through. And so at a minimum, right, and it should be bereavement. I think that's an easy way to start as organizations, that it qualifies under bereavement. Unfortunately, sometimes it does not in certain companies. And I think that is a big miss.
Hey, I mean, think about that for a second. If this was your 5-year-old child and something tragic and sudden happen, and you're talking about minimum of a couple of weeks that you would need just to, you know, go through the process of everything that you can within 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we're talking about an unborn child. There's still the same emotions and the ties and the bonds that parent has started making with that child. Yeah. May not have a name. They may not know what the face looks like, but that bond is there. My wife had 2 miscarriages during our productive years. You know, the first one was horrible. And it actually happened 2 days after me losing my job.
Oh gosh.
She was in her first trimester, and towards the end of her first trimester. Yeah. I mean, long and short of it, I had lost my job on a Thursday. And Saturday morning, she was spotting, and it was just, it was horrible. It was a nightmare. It was the worst week I've ever, for the longest time, anytime someone had asked me, well, hey, how's your week going? Well, I can tell you it's not the worst week I've ever had.
That's right.
And that's always what I was referring to. And then we had another one kind of a year later, and it was, I was actually in the middle of a trip, flying around with, you know, bankers and equity folks, kind of doing that dog and pony show with everybody on a private plane. And was literally, when I stepped on, I think I flew to Connecticut on Sunday night. By Monday, I was halfway around the country, and she sent me a text message saying, hey, this is happening. And, you know, after kind of waiting to see what was going to happen, you know, by the time we were at probably 3:00 Eastern, it was obvious that she needed to go to the hospital. And I was in the middle of, I mean, you know how these college towns can be.
Sure.
I was in the middle of nowhere where I could get on a flight, and I had to carry the flight through the next day as far as, you know, where we were going to all these different markets, because it was quicker for me to do that. And then I think we got off in Greenville, Spartanburg, and then I got a rental car and came home. You know, in both of those situations, obviously with one situation, I didn't have to worry because I didn't have a job. With the second one, it was traumatizing for everybody because everybody that was on the plane knew about it, knew what it was going through. They're sharing stories. And it's like, look, let's just don't, I can't, there's nothing I can do about it. Unless if we're going to turn this plane around and go to Charlotte, there's nothing we can do about it. So just let's don't focus on it. But it was one of those things that we'd just known for about a week or so that she was even pregnant. I mean, this was very, very early on. But that took a good solid week. Not even, because there was no real, you know, bonding or thought of this child coming into the world.
Absolutely.
It was something very traumatic happened. And, you know, I wasn't there to give my undying support.
Right.
And just, you know, the mental gymnastics that, you know, you go through for something like that, it takes a minute. You can't just come back to work the next day.
That's right.
So
no, I'm so sorry you had to go through that. I mean, it's like I said, it's not something that we wish for anyone, but it is extremely common, right? And I think through any of these processes that we talked about today, right, whether it's maternity leave, you're an adoptive parent, you have a miscarriage, I think how employers treat their teams during these times in their lives will resonate with them forever, right? I'm sure that, you know, the moments that you had with your team there when they're trying to be supportive resonate with you. Every leader that I've had that have helped me through leave or when we went through infertility treatments, those are things I'll never forget, right? I have loyalties to people that I will have forever because they really took the time to make those moments more comfortable, to make them easier, to make sure that work was not at the forefront of a time when family should be, right? I think that's something that we all need to look at with our organizations and just as people, right? I think that's something that just goes an extremely long way. And if you want employees that are going to, you know, work for you for a lifetime and really be loyal to you, that is a sure shot way to get it done, right? Just be a person, have empathy, right? And people's times of need.
Well, hey, let's wrap up. Let's end up on a very good positive note, but. How is Jet doing?
Jet is doing wonderful. He is about to be 6 months. I can't believe it. Growing like a weed. He just started rolling over. Actually, he rolled over for the first time when I was away, which was a bit challenging. As you know, you've been a parent on the road, but I got to see it as soon as I got home. So he's wonderful. And May is just the best big sister. I mean, she is just really loving the role of big sis. So it's wonderful to have two. I love seeing the sibling dynamic. I think that's the most special thing. And so having them has just been a true blessing for us. It's been wonderful.
So I've got an 18-year-old is our oldest, and then there's 6 years before the next one. Oh, wow. And she just turned 12. That's Presley. And then Parker's like 18 months behind her. Not even 18 months. I mean, it's like 13 months. And what do they typically call that? Like Irish twins or something. And when Parker came into the world and to see both Presley and Peyton doing it with Presley, but it was one of those things where there was a good 6 years. So it was a much different dynamic than what it was with Presley and Parker. And Presley, she still knew that she was the bigger sister, but this was more of her friend, right? It's been incredible watching them grow up so close together. And of course, now they've got Lawson, who's 2 years younger than Parker. But I love the sibling thing. I only had one sister. I love having four's a lot, don't get me wrong, but I would not want it any other way. That's for sure.
That's right. That's right.
Well, hey, thanks so much for joining in and sharing and, you know, kind of being vulnerable and talking about all this stuff that is going on actively in your life. And, you know, I think everybody else is much better for it. It's all about sharing these type of stories. So thanks so much for that. And we'll see you at Interface in April.
Absolutely. And thank you for having me, Wes. I think that this topic is something that needs to be talked about. And I really appreciate you having me on. I feel honored to be the person to talk about it. And I would just say for anybody out there, if you need somebody to talk to, if you're coming back from leave or about to go on leave, I'm always here. And we have a full network within the W Collective that can support as well. So we are here to help. And I'm just really grateful that I had this opportunity to be vulnerable. Not something I do very often from a business standpoint. It was lovely.
Well, thanks so much. We'll see you later.
Awesome. Thanks, Wes.